Hazel Khan, and you're tuned to North Fork Works, where I have the pleasure of introducing Walter Purisaka, another of my interesting and accomplished neighbours, to WPKN's listeners. Walter will be talking to us about his work in agriculture, music, and the making of musical instruments. Walter lives in Greenport and comes to the North Fork from Peru.
Yes, I am Walter Purisaka. I am from Peru, and I immigrated here in 2004. And I was part of a program called the International Farmers Exchange. It's a kind of program that brings students or qualified agriculture skill people from around the world, and they bring them here to the United States to work in farms.
And what, and you were qualified?
Yeah. I did studies in ecology and a little bit of plants, medicines, but I have a degree in agriculture, which covers a lot of farming, nurseries, trees, tropical, covers a lot of things.
So that qualified you for this exchange program?
Yeah. Plus a little bit of English.
You studied English in Peru?
Yeah, a little bit, but I learned a lot here.
What is the town that you come from in Peru?
Piura, it's North Peru. It's called Piura. It's in the north.
You've been here then essentially 8 years.
Yeah.
But I think you came first and then you went back again, right? Didn't you come before that?
Yeah. That was my second time. My first time was in 1998. That was the first time. And I stayed here 2 years. The same kind of program. But I decided to go back to Peru because I had things to do in those years, so I had to go back.
How old were you when you first came?
I was like 25, yeah. I'm 40 years old.
40?
Yeah.
And now you have a wife and a child.
Yes, that's my little kid. And I have another older daughter. She's 14 years old and she's in Peru.
But you met your wife here, or she came over, or...?
Well, she came with the same program, agriculture. Yeah, we worked in the same farm.
So, but you were, I think you were in New Jersey as well, not just the North.
Yeah, the first time, 1998, I worked in New Jersey.
And so when you came to the North Fork, it was through this program or through something else?
Yeah, in 2004, I was sent to Hawaii, Hilo in Hawaii. I stayed there 3 months, and then I was transferred to Maritak.
From here to Maritak?
Yeah.
That's quite a journey. What did you think when you first came here?
It was nice. Yeah, I like it. Long Island is a good place. You know, there's a lot of water, and the summer is good.
Yeah.
And the weather, you know, I had the four seasons. Hawaii is very hot.
But in Peru, you have four seasons.
It depends where you are in Peru. Yeah, if you are... In the coast, it's hot all the time. It's humid. We have the Pacific Ocean. If you are in the mountains, the highland, it's usually cold. But if you go to the jungle, which is the next area, the next big area in Peru, it's rainy and hot all the time.
Yeah. So it's got four seasons, but not all in the same place.
No. You have to go different places. Yeah.
What you're doing now is no more agriculture, no more ecology. You are basically a full-time musician.
Yeah, I'm a musician, and I make my own instruments, and I sell them, and I make my own music. I compose my own music, and I do fairs, street fairs, music festivals, yoga studios, and yeah. The reason I moved from being an agriculturist to become a musician is because both are my passions. I love plants, I love nature, and I love music. But when I started to play in this area, I found many people became interested in my music, in what I did. So I started with playing in Greenport, like on the street. Then I became like having gigs, private parties. I was invited to join bands and open mics. So then I started doing festivals and fairs, and a friend of mine introduced me to the advertising things and promoting myself in fairs and selling my stuff. And then I decided to change, because agriculture is good. But the problem is, like, sometimes you don't get appreciated in your work, because agriculture is a lot of work. You got to work in the rain, you got to work in the snow, in the heat. Your salary never gets up. You start 5, 6, or 7 an hour, and you stay for years. And no matter what you like it, your job, you love your job, it doesn't matter. You are in the same level all the time, from years. I worked like for 4 years, and I stay in the same level, in the same.
You didn't make more money, you didn't get to a higher position.
You stay the same, yeah.
So what did you say to yourself?
Well, I said, well, if I continue doing this for 4 more years, or 10 more years, it's gonna be the same. So I need to do something different. Educational programs, promoting my music, my flutes, and giving some information about cultural. And then I decided to move, to change from.
But you already knew how to play the music. You'd already
studied. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I learned it when I went to college. In music, you have the choice to go to contemporary, to classical, traditional. I picked up the traditional
Peruvian,
yeah,
from the Andes.
Yeah, or? We call him folklore. That's the word we call him. I took it for a semester, but then we were like 10 students. And we formed a band, which became a famous local band. We did a lot of gigs and we did a lot of playing. Like, yeah, we started like from zero. Sometimes I use guitar or bass guitar. In a few songs, I use the keyboard. We call it fusion. But the main idea is the flutes. Like, that's the main idea. It's not pure, but we try. We are 7 people in the band from Peru, Ecuador, and Bolivia. I brought my flutes from Peru. I always carry them with me, like, wherever I go.
How many do you have?
My own, I have a lot, like 16 maybe. I try to make flutes from bamboo, who is grow here too. There's bamboo here too. But the sound is different and the quality is different. So I import bamboo from Peru. It's expensive, but it's worth it.
So I'm looking at your flutes over there. Do you want to bring one and just talk about one that you've made,
yeah,
so you can describe it?
This is called Zampoña. Zampoña is based on different tubes, different pipes, which each one has different size, which means like different size in a pipe means different sound, different notes. I could start from the big ones who make the deeper sound, and the little ones who make the higher pitch now.
Is there an English name for this?
Some people relate this flute to a pan flute.
Pan flute.
But it's not really a pan flute. It's a little bit different.
How many tubes are there altogether?
Well, it's two scales.
Two scales.
This could be the same notes. The bigger ones are, like, as I told you before, the deeper sound. Then you go to the next scale, and the higher pitch one.
So you actually made this one?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I make this one from Peruvian bamboo.
Right.
Okay. The other one, this is called quena. It's only one pipe. The form is similar to a recorder, but it's not a recorder. It has like 7 holes. Each hole is a note.
But that you made as well?
Yeah, I made this too. This flute is called Antara. It's similar to a pan flute. The sound is a little bit different.
You know, you said that working outside in agriculture and so on, in the farms or whatever, you could never get anywhere. It was always the same. You were stuck. You were not able to progress. And now your life is much more your own, and you like doing it. You don't even call it work. So I was wondering, do you miss the outside, the agriculture, or anything about that at all?
Yeah, I didn't quit totally. I do some volunteers in organic farms. Once in a while in the summer.
What do you do when you volunteer?
When I volunteer, I go for a few hours, help them out, and then go home. It's different than you get paid and you're hired. It's different. Then you volunteer, you do what you can do.
So you're not completely cut off from it?
No. Well, I sometimes watch agriculture shows. Sometimes I read a little bit of agriculture. But in the future, I would like a job, part-time job, like I can help farmers, I can help laborers. Why? Because I have seen many people is focused only in work. I have many friends like 20 years working in the same thing, in the same level. They don't look happy.
So that you would also help other people to, I guess, have a more balanced life? Is that what it is?
Or? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, have a more balance and get more information on what else they can do, like not quitting the agriculture, because most of them like it. Some people, they don't like it much, but they have to do it. They have mm-hmm. families to feed, you know, they have no many choices, you know, and very undocumented people too. Like they can't afford to go somewhere else, you know, they can't do it.
They're very limited. Their choices are
very limited in languages.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want to work with them. I know a lot of people like they cannot even get a car. They ride bicycles mm-hmm. to get work. Some of them, they don't know how to ride a bike. Mm-hmm. And there are women too, working on farms. Yeah, a lot of women too.
Yeah, one doesn't see so many of them on the road or anything.
Yeah, they are in the shadows, you know, like.
The shadows.
Yes, that's unfair because these people work very hard.
So what is it like to be an undocumented immigrant? On the North Fork, I mean.
It's very tough because you don't exist. You know, you don't have a license, you know. It's very limited, you know, you can't do much.
You don't actually see very many women. There's a couple of Latino restaurants or something. They may work there. And the other thing I was thinking, you never really see old people.
You don't get services here. When you get older, you know, like after 50s, 60s, and your body's not the same, you know, you feel like if you don't have help here and you have no money, because I understand here is the medical service is very, very expensive. Even to go to see a doctor for 5 or 10 minutes is at least $100 plus medicine and a lot. It's maybe their entire paycheck for a week. After the 50s, they go back. They usually live close to the stores, to the roads that they can go to take the bus and like the King Collin area.
So they don't need a car.
They don't need a car.
Transportation.
No. It's very hard. It's very tough.
What is your status, by the way? Are you documented? You have a green card?
Well, I came here with a work contract for 5 years. So once that expired, then I started to fix my status. I'm still in the waiting list.
For a green card?
Or? Yeah, I put my papers in. But I have a driver license and I have a social security number. Because I had my work contract, yeah. I was able to. And I was lucky. I didn't cross the border and, you know, pass all the horrible things. I came by flight, you know, from Lima to New York. So I was lucky.
Well, you had skills that were exchangeable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem a lot of the time. So who do you hang out with? Do you consider yourself mainly a musician and you hang out with musicians? Or do you consider yourself South American, you hang out with South Americans? You also are secure. You feel legitimate. You don't feel undocumented, right?
Yeah, I feel secure, yeah. I feel secure. But even though, if I don't have documents, you know, beyond the paper that you can hold, you are a human being. You know, if you are in my country and you have no visa, it wouldn't matter for me. You know, I would consider you a human being first. Even if you are undocumented in my country and you need help and you need medical support, I will help you. Humanity, you know, I see the world different.
Walter Purisaka is talking about how he lives and works on the North Fork of Long Island. This is WPKN. Is this, so how you see it is different from how you experience it here?
Yeah, it's a lot of discrimination, you know. It's a lot of discrimination. Maybe not racial, maybe not, but it's discrimination against, like, you have papers, you don't have papers, and or maybe you don't speak the language and they see you in a different level, or you are a second level citizen.
Uneducated.
Or uneducated.
In fact, you are educated, just don't speak English. So your role here, you're putting yourself in the community. I'm going to have to call it community. I don't know what else to call it. You see yourself as a leader in a way, that you can help other people and you want to do more to support them and lift them up in some way.
If I can help, I'm going to help.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what, you know, just... I always been like that. I'm not going to change. You know, if
are there many Peruvians here or is it mainly other countries? Because I've not met any Peruvians.
Yeah. Well, not really. Not in this area. Nassau County is a little bit like more Peruvians. Not many. But basically in this area is Guatemalans. People from Guatemala and Mexico is more. Like Guatemala, it's a lot of Guatemala people from in the North Fork. And you can go to the Spanish mass in Greenport, Saturdays at 8 o'clock. And you see the church full of from Guatemala, Mexico, and Salvador. I think I'm the only Peruvian in Greenport. Yeah, I think. There in Riverhead, there are a Latino Spanish mass too on Sundays. In Greenport is St. Agnes. In Riverhead is St. John.
Your own identity, who do you relate to most?
I am a Peruvian. I consider myself a Peruvian and a Native American because I come from ancestors that never got mixed from thousands and thousands of years. They never got mixed.
They never intermarried, you mean? Or
never, no.
Very pure.
Yeah, very pure. So I'm a very Peruvian and very American. I mean, no, not the Columbus... things, you know, the America as a history.
That's what you mean by Native American.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't understand it when you first said it.
Yeah, and I'm very American in that way, not in the commercial way.
No.
Okay, and I consider myself a Peruvian.
Do you want your children to be Peruvian?
It's up to them, you know, whatever they can feel. As long as they preserve the values and they preserve the good way of living, like being honest, like being a good human being, it doesn't matter. Like if they want to be like Americans or Europeans or Peruvians, as long as they have.
You're Peruvian and understand that. Do you feel that you're part of the North Fork? What is the North Fork to you?
Oh, the North Fork. It's a great place. It's beautiful. Yeah, I like it. North Fork gave me a very good opportunity, you know, to know and to experience many things. Like, I have friends here. My son was born here. I made good friends here. White Americans, Native Americans, Latinos, some African Americans, you know, diversity. There's not much diversity, but I met, you know, like...
Was it music that connected you to them or other things?
Yes, basically music. Yeah, basically music.
You feel that you're part of the North Fork?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, yes. And sometimes I miss my family. My 6 sisters are in Peru. I have no brothers, you know. My mother, my father passed away. But my entire family is there. I have my son here and my wife is here, but the rest are...
So when do you miss the most? Is it just at like holiday times or other times?
Well, I miss them all when it's birthdays, because we celebrate birthdays in Peru. Birthdays are very important. It's different than here. Then you go and have cake and a little bit talking and then that's it. Peruvians are different. You know, birthdays are huge parties. Like,
what is significant about birthdays?
Tradition from 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock, and you go till the next day with the party.
So you feel part of the North Fork, except for when you miss
your country. It's a good place here.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say it's a very special place. They say it for different reasons. I mean, artists say it, photographers, farmers, people growing up. A lot of people have different reasons for thinking the North Fork is special.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think it's special? I mean, you said it's nice, but is it special?
For me, yes. Because it brings you peace. To me, it's a peaceful place. I have peace here. You have, like, countryside, like, sometimes it's very quiet, you hear only the birds, and you know, and you don't have to go far. You know, you go, you know, like a road, you just driving and pull over and go in the woods, and you don't see that in Nassaukani or Patchogue area or Ronkonkoma area. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. Or New York City is different. You feel a different energy here.
Does that continue to the people? Would you say there the people are different?
People from the North Fork. I think I was lucky to found a lot of good people here. There might be like good and bads like everywhere. Peruvian, there are great people and there are bad people too. I think it's everywhere. But I was kind of lucky to find like good friends, good people. You know, even my son's godparents are from here. Mm. And got a lot of good friends. I found good people, you know. I found a couple of weird people too, everywhere.
But when you get together with other Spanish speaking people, now I don't even know what to call them, I've become self conscious talking about.
Yeah, let's talk Latino because it's the
Latina,
the common.
So when you get together with them, they might be from Guatemala or wherever you said. What kind of thing do you do? Do you just meet at people's houses? Or what do you do as a social activity with them?
I used to go to church more than now. So I met them through work and church. When I worked in the farmers, like all are Latino, like 90% or 99%. So I got a lot of friends. Like I used to go to their houses, watch a show in Spanish. It's our language, so it's easier to talk, you know, like very easy to talk to them. So we talk and they play a lot of soccer, you know, like used to play like soccer with them and church.
And so the families, I mean, now with your wife and your child, what kind of social activities do you have within the Latino community?
Basically church. And in the summer is easier in the summer because there's more activity. You know, there are barbecues, there are park meetings. Mm. But limited because they work a lot. They hard workers. You know, they have no much time.
I'm just wondering, again, to go back to this idea of what it's like to be a Latino person out here on the North Fork. I always think of them as not integrated at all, that they see each other.
They're shy to come out because of the basis that they've been discriminated by not having papers. They feel like they cannot go through, they cannot, you know, be themselves. They're very limited with that. It doesn't look like, but it's very important. You know, it's having a piece of paper, mm-hmm. having a license, having a green card means a lot in this country. Yeah.
So are they always worried about being caught or being intercepted in some way?
Many of them, yeah. Many of them. And the language is a big bar. You know, the language.
So what could they do to learn the language more? I mean, what could be done that they would... I mean, I know there are places you can learn English as second language and so on.
Okay, learn English as you learn how to drive a car or how to drive a machine. Learning the language is an intellectual thing. It's thinking. You know, it's more difficult than you think. Learning a language is not easy. It's not easy. Like, hey, why don't people learn English? Because it's not easy.
No, I didn't say why don't they. I said what could be done to make it easier for them to learn English. What could one do?
Schools maybe would offer free classes like daily, not in the summer once a week. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard like some libraries or not school or churches is once a week, 2 hours. You don't learn anything.
Yeah. And most of the employers, they always speak to them in some kind of pidgin, like...
mix.
Yeah. Aki, you know, whatever. But they don't speak to them in English. They should speak to them in proper English and ask them to respond in English so that they could learn it, you know.
Yeah. I was lucky to went to college. I had skills like grammar things. I was very limited when I got here, but I had that very good base. So I, when I got here, I got the experience to talk and was lucky.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm smart. I have more luck. I was lucky.
So what I'm hearing you say is that basically you came to this country with a lot of just skills or whatever you had, and it came from your family in some way. But if you come here, as a lot of these guys are that one sees, they don't come with any of that. And it's really difficult to make it in this country if you bring nothing with you. It's stacked against you before you even start.
Yeah.
How can people get in touch with you to find out about your music or your instruments?
People can look for me in Facebook or in YouTube or by email. My name is Walter Purisakale. P as in Peter, U R I, Z as in Zebra, A C A. Even YouTube, Facebook, or my email is the same, but walterpurisaka@hotmail.com. I usually post what I'm playing, what I'm performing on my Facebook page. I usually post in with the band too. The winter is when I go inside and work on the music, on the albums, and the build like flutes, like, because it's less work.
Music specially composed for North Fork Works by Walter Purisaka. Very good. Thank you very much, Walter.
You're very welcome.
That was Walter Purisaka telling us how he lives and works and makes music on the North Fork. North Fork Works is heard on the first Wednesday of every month at 7:30 p.m. on WPKN 89.5 FM Bridgeport, streaming and archived on WPKN.org. All North Fork Works programs are available as podcasts on hazelkahn.com. Music for today's program was composed and performed during the interview by Walter Purisaka. North Fork Works is produced by Tony Ernst.